I thought one thing that they said was Danielle finally arrived where she was meant to be. And I just thought, that is so our tagline. When we said yes, and Jesus was like, he hung on the cross, and we said yes to him, we finally arrived where we were always meant to be. And here we are. And I just love that. After last week, this was on my Facebook feed, and I was like, what? That is so perfect. So I'm going to just show it. So I just was thinking, though, watching it again, that was me before I met Christ. That was me just in nothing, in the depths of disgusting life with no hope, no joy, nothing to look forward to. We had no life. And once God, the Father, he chose us, and then he adopted us and made us our own, made us his own, and he redeemed us, and he forgave us. I mean, these are all these riches and these blessings that we went over last week, and now we get to hope. We get to learn, like as she was learning to communicate. I was thinking, you know, you don't say yes to Jesus and no Christianese all of a sudden, you know, and you're like, I don't even know how to pray out loud, you know, like I need to learn how to communicate in a spiritual way and to hear the voice of our shepherd and what does it sound like, and the longer we walk with him, the better in tune we are to who, what he sounds like, and same thing, us talking to him, we just get closer and closer, and we just blossom with every season, and I just think it's such a good picture of what adoption is. And so let's get these notes correct. Okay, so Paul, last week, he was talking about all these spiritual gifts, and that is all the wealth that we have as Christ followers. And Ephesians really can be broken up into three different sections, and I think we can find three different ways or a bunch of different ways to divide it up. But the first portion of Ephesians really talks about the wealth that we have in Christ. And then the second portion is the welfare, how we are supposed to act and behave with others, our general welfare. And then it will end with war. And so we're still in the wealth portion. But before Paul goes on to talk about the more riches that we have, he breaks into a prayer at this portion of Scripture. He breaks into a portion of prayer for the followers in Ephesus that we might know, or that they might know what they have, like all these things that they told. You know, we can be told that we've got this, this, and this, and this, but we got to know it. We've got to actually start thinking it and then believing it and then live it out. They're like, it takes time to know this. And so this is his prayer, his heart's prayer. How many teachers are here? Okay, so you all have students, and you're like, you know, your heart's desire is that your students grab hold of what you're teaching them because it's for the good. And then not only grab hold of it and get an A on the test and then forget it the next day, but to grab hold of it, know it, and then live it out. As moms, we pray that for our kids constantly, that they would learn this skill or learn this, so that then they can like graduate to the next skill and then the next skill. We want to see them mature and be age appropriate to, you know, their maturity level. And I was thinking this morning, you know, we can know Scripture, we can memorize Scripture. And, you know, the most popular Scripture, I think, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so we know it in our heads. And then when it goes from our head to our heart and we say, I do, to Jesus, like, we're then, like, living it out. But then you can learn it even deeper still. And I got to know this verse when I learned what it was like to lose a son. And so even further, we can know Scripture. And God is not done, because he will go deeper and deeper and deeper still. And he wants to do that with all these words in this book, all of them. And so it's really interesting to, you know, just read through scripture and you will find your case in here. You will find your storm. You will find your situation, your struggle, your insecurities. You will find your victories in here. And so, and grab hold of them. You know, it's a hook. It hooks me to Christ. It hooks me to this book. It hooks me. It makes me come back because it's alive and it's penetrating my heart. And so this morning I want to read to you, this evening I want to read to you, this is take two, in Ephesians, I'm going to read verses 15 through 23, and I'm going to read from the Message because I found it really kind of cool. I'm going to be teaching from the New King James, but I want to just read to you this version. It says, after Paul had just gotten done talking about how the Holy Spirit is the conduit and the seal, the guarantor of all those gifts we get, he said, "That's why when I heard of your solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I could not stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than ask, or I do more than thank, I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength." And all this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on the throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. And at the center of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. And I just thought that was such a cool, kind of sums it up, and in some different words. And so here Paul, he is giving thanks to the Lord for the followers in Ephesus. And in fact, he is super stoked to hear of his friends' reputation. And what is their reputation? What are the two things that he has heard about? Faith and their love. He has heard about this. I mean, you know, this word travels fast, doesn't it? And I just thought, you know, it's a good reminder that we all have reputations. And whether they are good or bad reputations, we all got them. And no matter what mask we try to put on, or matter what our Facebook status says, like, the truth of the matter will come out. Like, the real deal of who we are will get out there. And and I was thinking, not only just our reputation of, like, is it a good reputation or a bad reputation, because you know what? I can care less if I am known for the girl who changes her hair every next week. But what is my spiritual reputation? What am I known for spiritually? Are you known for your gratitude? Are you known for your prayer warrior, your intercessory prayer? Are you known for your joy, your faith? What are you known for? You know, a lot of times it's our gifts that we are known for, but I know a lot of people who do not exercise their gifts. And what I find when I am not exercising my gifts, I'm exercising, like, the bad things that are in me, you know? And Philip sometimes calls it the gift of discouragement. And he's like, "Gosh, you've got a good gift of discouragement today." And but you know, if we need to exercise our gifts, because we want to be known, we want to have that reputation of doing what God intended for us to do. And so So that portion, that first portion is is done with. And then the second portion of his prayer is his requests. And if he is making request known to God about these people who he loves, then we ought to be asking God on the behalf of our friends or people that we know. If we are not praying for others, then I think that we're missing out, because then you miss out on what God is actually going to do in that person's life when you could have had a hand in it, because prayer changes things. Prayer changes, prayer helps helps things. How many of you can feel when people are praying for you? Like, you can feel it. And I think that it's pretty awesome, and we ought to know the importance of that. You know, we don't want to hold back the good that we can lavish on somebody, and they don't even need to know about it. We can just pray for people. And so here he is requesting now, and I came up with four things that he requests the Lord. And so the first one is to, first of all, in a nutshell, is to that they would know him personally, that they would know him, that they would know their maker, their God. And in order to do that, he's saying that we need intelligence, we need discernment, we need wisdom in order to know him personally. Because oftentimes, if I don't have discernment, I think, was that me? Or was that the Lord? Was I just thinking that? Or did he want me to do that? I get mixed up and I get confused, but I need discernment in order to know the voice of God. And then the wisdom is like hearing the voice of God and knowing what to do. Like, obey. Just obey, and then go for it. And I think the key here that really drives it home for me is that I might know him personally. This is my God, me. I can't know my God on your coattails. If you sit and toil and read and search and knock and seek and treasure hunt and dig, I can't be like, okay, give me some of that. You know, we are all responsible for doing that work ourselves. Now, we can share one another's stories and experiences. We can learn from one another's mistakes, from one another's victories. But we have got to work out our own salvation. It is my responsibility. And I'm telling you, if I told you and told you and told you about my sweet friend Jamie that lives down in Eastlake, you might get a big picture of who she is and maybe a little bit of what she looks like. But until you meet her, will you know her personally? And we have met our Savior. We have met God. And if we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. So we're not going, like, the more personal digging we do, this investigation into this God of ours, we're not going to be amazingly surprised when we see him face to face when we get to heaven. So that's the first thing he asks for. The second thing is that we see clearly, this calling that we have. And I don't want to get confused thinking this might mean knowing our calling, like as a teacher or calling as a mom, like this is the best calling ever. Like, that isn't necessarily in context what it is talking about here. This is the calling of who we are at our core as Christ followers, as daughters of the King. We live a resurrected life, an eternal life with God, free from sin, perfected justification, and elevated even above the angels. That's who we are. And when we get the big picture of that calling, that's our calling. We are called to be with him forever. That's our calling. We can now infuse that excitement, that destiny, that in everything we do. And so that's what we want to be clearly seeing. That is Paul's hope, that we would see clearly. Sometimes when circumstances come our way, I lose that. I get distracted from that, that I live a resurrected life. I once was dead in this gross house, but God made me alive. And and that's, I need to be reminded of that constantly, that I'm going to live eternally, and this life is like but this long. I saw something on the internet, Francis Chan, I don't exactly know what it was, but he had a long, like, rope, and it was a long white rope, long, long, long white rope, and then at the very end, it was painted red, like, maybe 3 inches. And he was holding this, and he was talking, and he was saying, you know, like, this is eternity. This is our eternity. And so he said, this is mine. And he said, we get so caught up on this 3-inch piece of rope that we live here on earth, you know? And not even the full three inches. It's like the first two, because we work right now, and we're not even thinking about later. And and I just thought, it's so true. We get caught up, and I need to remember that I have eternal life, and I can start living that now. It frees me up to do what I need to do in life with the Lord. The third thing he asks for, or that he requests, is that we would know the riches of the glory of his, God's, inheritance in the saints. And I thought, what is that tricky little words? He's saying that God sees us as so precious that he considers us his inheritance. Isn't that cool? We are God's inheritance. He looks at us as a prize, as valuable, as just so precious. And I want to be precious to somebody all the time. You know, I mean, my husband thinks I am precious, but not all the time, you know? Not all the time. But God thinks we are precious all the time. He delights in us. He delights in us. Even when we're not, like, evangelizing on the corner, we're painting or scrapbooking or doing whatever we do. He delights in us. He watches us, and he's like, oh, she's awesome. He delights in us. We are his inheritance. And lastly, number 4, is that we would know his power. His power, this crazy, life-changing, rearranging, uprooting, organizing, because my life was absolute chaos, organizing power. And this power is endless and boundless. And that we might know that. That is something that he wants us to know so badly. He wants us to lay hold of it and walk in it. So he wants us to live in this power. And so, ladies, if you are feeling a little powerless, it's a prayer away. Sometimes I forget I can pray for power. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, this is just so hard. Will you help me? You know, and can you bring someone else to come and volunteer and help do this and the blah, blah, blah. And I've got all this masterminding of how I can get this job done. And God's like, ask for power. Paul did. We can ask for power. And what is he going to say? Oh, no, I'm not going to give that one to you. No, God doesn't hold back. He doesn't hold anything back from us. And isn't that where Eve fell? She thought that God was holding back on her. Why is it that I can eat, you know, out of all these fruits, why can't I eat out of that one? He's holding back, you know? He doesn't love me like he says he does, you know? That's reserved for who else, you know? And so God does not hold back his riches. So, and then the part 3 he just goes on to continue to talk about this power. And this power is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. I think that's the bar. That's the highest bar, really. You can even think of, you know, moving this mountain to here, I still think raising someone from the dead is a little harder in my book. Not that I can do either one of them. But I think that that is a high bar. And so when we pray, when we consider the power that we're asking for, it's that power. It's that crazy power. And sometimes I was praying for somebody. They were going on a missions trip, and the Lord just told me to pray that they would be so in tune with God and they would hear his voice and do exactly what he says, even if it's spitting in the dirt and taking the mud and sticking it in someone's eyes. Like, that is powerful. But so many times I'm afraid of that. Like, it's a little bit freaky sometimes to think of power to that degree. And we think that we're not going to be a part of that. It's going to be God just doing that and manifesting in it in a big pile or lightning bolt or something. But the Lord may require us to do something as well as it manifests itself, this power. And so we shouldn't be afraid to walk out and step out in faith and be obedient to whatever and whenever that is going to lead us to. Okay, and then he talks about how that Jesus is the head over all things to the church, that is us, his body. And I love that he says his fullness fills everything. And I looked up that word fullness, and it doesn't mean that it's filled, because the one after that means filled, that fills everything. But his fullness means that it's him that is performing. It is him that's doing it. It is his presence that is doing it, not me. It's his fullness that is working in and through me and doing it. So it's nothing that I'm doing. And he fills, his fullness fills the church. But we got to make sure we sit and fill our tank every day, so we're all working with full tanks. Got it? Okay. As I was studying this week, this just kept coming up. I'm telling you, like, three different times in the past, like, 5-6 days. And so I thought, why? And I'm thinking, and so I just need to share it, because that's the way it goes. I'm done with this one. And so I was brought to Romans 8. So if you would, turn with me to Romans 8. And as I was reading chapter 8, it was like, don't you love when, like, scripture confirms scripture? And you didn't ask for it. It wasn't like you're saying, well, where else does it say that in the Bible? It's just like you're doing something else and you're reading and you're like, oh, and I just read that this morning over here and it's different. And so that's what was kind of happening. And so in verse 28, we'll start reading. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are just confirming through your word exactly what you have done in each one of us. You have called us and justified us. And it was all done beforehand. He knew the plan for every one of us beforehand. And so it was all, he knows. And so I'm going to skip a little bit through here. It says in verse 31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I was thinking, if he is the head and we are the body, we are one. And so if someone is against me, he's against the body. He is against God. And if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, we are bigger than what we think and perceive ourselves to be. We are bigger because God is within us. In verse 33, it says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We are elect. And who is he who condemns? No one. No one can stand against God. No one can. If you remember, I mean, God, we are infused with his power. All of God's power is ours. It's our resource to use. It's freely ours. It's been given to us. And I believe that it has been given to us by his love, right? It's because he loves us. He adopted us. He's our dad. And just like that husband and wife, everything that they have, all of their resources, their farm, their every single thing is now Danielle's. And so that is what my God has done for me. So, but because he loves me, I get all this stuff. And so verse 35, it says, so who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just think it just seals the deal. This is why we get all of this stuff. And nothing and no one can take it away from us. God himself, the Holy Spirit, seals the deal. And you can't, I mean, God is love. He cannot lie. And he's for us. And so I'm going to leave you with this. And another thing, so I read this out of Utmost for His Highest. And it kind of was on the same track. And I just thought it was kind of cool. So I'm going to leave you with this. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. It says, Paul was speaking here of the things that might seem likely to separate a saint from the love of God, or it might make us feel like it. But the remarkable thing is that nothing can come between the love of God and the saint. The things Paul mentioned in this passage, like the storms we just talked about, can and do disrupt the close fellowship of our souls with God and separate our natural life from him, but none of them is able to come between the love of God and the soul of a saint on a spiritual level. The underlying foundation of the Christian faith is the undeserved, limitless miracle of the love of God that has exhibited on the cross of Calvary, a love that is not earned and can never be. Paul said, this is the reason that in all things we are more than conquerors. We are super victors with a joy that comes from experiencing the very things which look as if they're going to overwhelm us. There's like a verse in James that says, count all joy, you know, when we fall into various trials, and this is why. And I love this part. It says, huge waves that would frighten an ordinary swimmer produce tremendous thrill for the surfer who has ridden them. Don't you think that's so cool? I love that. And, you know, first, before you swim, or before you surf, you have to learn to swim. And I feel like that is, we are working this out, ladies. We have a lifetime here on earth to work out our salvation, and we're going from the little trials, and they kind of get bigger and more devastating and crazy and weird and unexplainable. But like, God is just going to show himself more and more and more to us, and he'll never ever let us down because he loves us so much. Every time his track record's perfect. Okay, and so then it goes on, it says, let's apply that to our own circumstances. I know some of you are going through some crazy trials or just getting out of trials, or you're going to go into a trial. The things we try to avoid and fight against, tribulation, suffering, and persecution, are the very things that produce abundant joy in us. It does not make sense. Supernatural. We can't figure that out. And we are more than conquerors through him in all these things. In all these things. Not in spite of them, but in the midst of them. A saint doesn't know the joy of the Lord in spite of tribulation, but because of it. Paul said, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. The undiminished radiance, which is the result of abundant joy, is not built on anything passing, but on the love of God that nothing can change. And the experiences of our life, whether they are everyday events or terrifying ones, are powerless to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have such a great love for us. I thought of that book, Crazy Love. You crazy love us. You pursue us. You're in love with us. I just think back of when I first fell in love, and you're just walking on cloud nine, googly eyes. And you know what? Love covers a multitude of sin, and that's the eyes you see us through. Each one of us. You're crazy about us. Pray we would understand that, and through and by your love, we have all these riches, all this wealth. I pray that through this study, God, you would empower us to live dynamically and stop living from a state of poverty and bankruptcy. Lord, God, you got us. You got us. Help us to trust you more. You will never hold back anything good from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you bet.
You did too?
Oh yeah, that thing that caught about the sending.
Awesome.
The same way that, you know, yeah,
I know it.
It was great. It was great. And I love him. He's so amazing.
So we got married 15 years ago, and Terry and Nancy Clark gave it to us. I started reading it, and I was like,
it's heavy.
Blah,
it's
blah,
really
blah,
heavy.
Blah, and I was like, okay.
I know.
Years went by, I don't even remember. I picked it up, and I was like,
it's like gold nuggets every time.
Yes.
But you're right. As a new Christian, it's just too nice, too headaches, too whatever. But now, Lord uses it in my life all the time.
I did a lot.
Right now is my favorite. I do stream. It's always been my favorite.
Yeah.
But now that one is just like
awesome.
Because you know what? It's kind of like James. Like James is like, it's in your face.
You bet. Like,
and
it's bam in nutshells.
Yeah.
Little.
And he's in your face. That's
yes.
Right there.
Hey.
I feel like I need some wise counsel. Like, I don't know if I should call the counseling office.
Yeah, that's what it's there for.
I'd rather talk to the mother.
Okay.
So, you know, do you have a small group you have to get to?
No. No, we can chat right now.
Can we chat right now?
Of course. Yes. I'm a mom, and my kids are definitely younger than yours, but I've got a mommy heart, and I know Jesus.
And you've got a
wisdom. Okay.
I need all of you.
Okay, you bet.
Anyway, I was going to say, and I mean this